Okay, today's daf is Zion. We're going to start back at the middle. I'm just going to review a little bit from Amar Rav, which is near the top. It's about 10 lines from the top. I'll just review a little bit what we got up to. The Mishnah had said, the Mishnah gave a long list, let's just review. When it comes to the Menachot, we discuss why it separates that Menchat Chote from all the others, but we're not going to, that's according to Rav Shimon even, it's trying to tell us. If a Zar or an onen, or tful yom, it had a whole list of things, and all these things, if you didn't do this with a mincha, when you did the kmitza of the mincha, where you put your fingers in, the kohen did it, or didn't, it wasn't a kohen, let's say, or all sorts of other cases where he wasn't tahor, all sorts of issues, it's pasul. Then the Mishnah stops, it says pasul. Then the Mishnah says, kamatz besmol, if he did it with his left hand, it's also pasul. The small is separated out from the Mishnah, okay, in the Mishnah. It's got a list of all these psulim, and then it talks about the left hand, and then it says, Ben Betera Omer Yachzir, V'yachzor V'yikmotz B'yamin. He does it again. If he did it with small, then he goes back, he does it with his right hand, and then he puts, okay, let's, 1 second. So the Kohen was Chabala. I was going to make my challah early this morning. I figured then I'd have dough and we could actually do it. But anyway, if the Kohen takes the Kmitza, so he has it, first, you put the whole mixture of the mincha into a bowl. So you have the whole mixture of the mincha in one bowl. Then you take it from the bowl. This is a kli sharet. Remember, that sanctifies it. So he takes it out of the bowl, and then he puts it into another kli sharet. He has to sanctify the kmitza. So there's two kli sharets that we're talking about here. So now, if he does it
Why
with the small...
Why does the first one have to be a kli sharet then?
Because the whole mincha has to be sanctified also. In other words, because in the end, the shirayim are also going to be sanctified, and they're given to the kohen. Whatever's left is given to the kohen to eat. So everything has to be sanctified. So that's the basis of today's shir, is that there's two bowls. Okay, this is critical. So if he does the kmitza from the first bowl, and then he did it with his left hand. Okay, I'm lefty, so I'm naturally doing it with my left hand. That's the problem. Anyway, it's good in this case. So he does it with his left hand. According to Ben Beteri, he can put it back in the first bowl, and that's good. And then he does it again. Okay, in other words, let's say Azar did it. So if he did it with his left hand, then he just goes back to the beginning, and he does the kmitza with his right hand. Comes Rav, okay, on line number 12 or something, on Daf Vav Amud Bet, and he says that Zar shekamat yachzir. Not only with small, like Ben Batera said, but also, or we don't know exactly, is he talking according to Ben Batera, is he talking according to Chachamim, Tanakama, who says, doesn't work with small, you can't redo it. Anyway, Rav says, if a Zar did it, he can do it again. He can basically put it back in that first bowl, and then do a new, you know, a Kohen could come along and do the Kmitza. So the whole question of Rav is, what do you mean? Didn't we just say in the Mishnah, first the Gemara said, didn't we say it's disqualified? Which means, once it's disqualified, how could you do it? So they say, oh no, maybe it means, and first they think that he's talking even according to Tanakama. And Tanakama said everything's disqualified. So then they say, oh no, it's disqualified. And as disqualified means, right, until you put it back. So then they say, well, that's Ben Batera. They say, oh no, Ben Batera meant that you could put it back. Now imagine if the dough is a little sticky, not all the dough can get back, the mincha can get back into the first bowl. So the machloka between them is, what if, when you put it back, some got stuck in your hand, you couldn't put it all back, you have to refill the bowl to have the exact measurement, so can you refill it from other new ingredients? And that's the machloka. And then the Gemara says, well, that can't be the machloka because it doesn't say that in the Mishnah. If that was the machloka, can you bring ingredients, according to the Gemara, it said, mitoch beito, can you bring ingredients from your house or not? Right, then it would have said so. So then the Gemara said, okay, let's just go, we'll start from here now. So it's a few lines past that, let's say another 10 lines. At the end of the line, it says, Ki ka'amar rav leben betera. So they say it must be he was talking only according to Ben Batera. In other words, Rav says, Ben Batera said it was small, and then Rav says it's also bizarre. So the Gemara first says, pshita, because they just assume, well, if he's talking according to Ben Batera, we're assuming right now, for whatever strange reason, that Ben Batera meant it across the board, in which case, in other words, even in his Azar case or other psulim. And then, what's Rav adding? Rav is an Amora, has to be adding something to what Atama said, otherwise he would just say, halacha ke Ben Batera. He wouldn't say, that kamatz bezarsha kamatz yachzir. So ma'u detema ad kan lo machshir ben betera le besmo aval b'shar psulin lo. Okay, kamashmalan. So the whole chidush now is he was talking only according to ben betera, and you might have thought ben betera only said that you can redo it if it was besmo, and he's coming to tell you that no, ben betera even meant it. You can fix it. Even with that whole first category, that's why I said up at the beginning, there's a whole list of psulim, and then it says pasul, and then there's a whole list of other, then and then there's just the small, and it says pasul, and ben betera says yachzir, right? You could do it again, which we assumed was only referring to small. Ben betera even said, and then he does it the amin, so he was obviously referring to that. But comes Rev and he says, well, he even meant it for the first category, or at least for the Tzar. We're going to assume maybe even everything, but right now we're just talking about the Tzar. He meant it also by the Tzar. So what might you have thought? You might have thought only by Smol. So why would you have thought that Smol is different from a Tzar? So the Gemara says, right, Maishna Smol, de echshalan echshera b'yom ha-kippurim, because in Yom ha-kippurim, the Kohen uses his left hand. Maybe that's why. If you're going to say that's why, though, Tzar nami eshkachan lan echshera b'shchita. Right, a Tzar can also have it b'shchita. I'm not going to reread all this because we did this yesterday also. Then they go off on a tangent and they say, but Shechita is not Navoda. Then they say, what do you mean Shechita is not Navoda? In the Paraduma, we do the Shechita and it has to be done by a Kohen, the Shechita of the Paraduma. And then we say, oh no, that's a special unique halacha. That's Kotcha Bede Kabayit. That's different. That has nothing to do with Shechita of animals for sacrifices. That's more like Marot Negaim, where the Kohen has to check the Nega. The Kohen also has to check the Paraduma. That's a unique halacha specific to that doesn't have to do with slaughtering animals for sacrifices. So in the end, they say, Shechita is not Navoda, and that's why you wouldn't have said, oh, well, there's a Kechsher of Tzar in the case of Shechita, and therefore we would think, right, and this was all to knock out why we're basically trying to say, why does Rav have to say there's a chiddush? Just like Smol, there's a hechsher that the Kohen could do it on Yom Kippurim. Also, Zar, there's a hechsher by Shechita. But if we say, oh, Shechita's not Navoda, then there's no hechsher by Zar. In which case, Rav has to tell us, yes, also by Zar. He would say this because you wouldn't have thought so. So now we're going to go to another reason why you might have thought there's a hechsher by Zar. What's the hechsher by Tzar? By Tzar, we have a hechsher. okay, v'nelef mi bama. Okay, we're now about 15 lines from the bottom. The first word in the line is kehuna. Okay? V'nelef mi bama. Why don't you learn from a bama? Because in bamot, there's a hechsher for a Tzar. When is that? A Tzar can work in the bamot. Right? On Bamot, you don't need a Kohen. We said that at the end of Zvachim. You don't need a Kohen for the Bamot. So there you see that there's Echsher by Bama, in which case, again, what would we say? If there's Echsher for Zar, and there's Echsher for Smol, we would think the law is the same, in which case, Rav doesn't need to tell us that just because Ben Batera said you can redo it if you made a mistake by Smol, we would assume you can also redo it if you made a mistake and the Zar did it. But then they say, why is Zara different? Or we're going to sort of say, we're going to sort of bring something and reject it. V'chitema mi bama lo yafina. Maybe you can't learn from the bamot, because bamot is not the Beit HaMikdash, and the laws are different. So we're not going to say, oh, just because there's a hechsher by bama, you could also understand. Bama was only a certain time frame even that you could do it, right? There was only a certain time in history that it was even allowed. So when you're in the Beit HaMikdash, it's not allowed at all. So why? Maybe you would think that we can't learn from bamot. V'hatanya, but we have a braita where we do learn a specific halacha from Bamot. What's the halacha we learn from Bamot? Minayin liyotze, this is good. In Menachot, we have a lot of chazara into Zvachim, particularly in today's daf. Minayin liyotze, she'im ala lo yered. How do you know that if you took something out of the azara, where once, right, remember, if you take it out of the azara, it's disqualified. How do you know that if you took it out of it and it became disqualified, and then somehow it got brought back inside and ended up on top of the mizbeach, that imala lo yered, once it gets up on the mizbeach, you don't have to take it off. In other words, it's disqualified, but once you start burning it, or once you even got up to the mizbeach, you're allowed to then burn it. Sharei yotze kasher bebama. The reason, how do we know this? Because in the bamot, there is no din of yotze, because there's no boundaries, there's no demarcated lines there, there's no machitzot. So since it's kasher bebama, therefore, imala lo yered. Okay? So there you have it. We do learn from Bamot. But then they answered, no, no, no. We really don't learn from Bamot. They said we could connect this to Bamot, but that was only so the people would remember. But really, Tana Azot Torah Ta'ola Samichle. They really learn that halacha not from Bama. They really learn it from the pasuk Zot Torah Ta'ola, which means once things went up, they stay up. All things that went up are treated the same, other than there's some exceptions, but that teaches us that this psul of Yotzei, and we don't really learn it from the Bama. So in the end, what do we say? That, again, according to Ben Batera said it about small, we would have thought only small and not Zar, because there actually is no hechsher for a Zar. Because we knocked out Shechita, it's not Navoda, we knocked out Bamot, because we don't learn from Bamot. And that's why Rav has to tell us that even a Zar who did the Kmitza, and that's not allowed, he puts it back in the bowl, and he's allowed to then read, right, then a Kohen can come and fix it. It can be fixed. Okay, this is interesting, because this is all about when we make mistakes, right? What mistakes can be fixed? What mistakes can't be fixed? So Ben Batera said it about if you do it with your left hand. And Rav said, according to Ben Batera, it would even be allowed with the Tzar doing it. You could even redo it. As opposed to Tana Kama, remember, Rav is not going according to Tana Kama, who say it can't be fixed at all. It's disqualified. So now the Gemara is going to question an assumption we made. The Gemara is going to say, Alatama Dashmin and Rav. So this is all based on the fact that Rav told us this is okay. But halav hachi, hav amina b'shar psul and pasal ben b'tera? Would we really have thought that ben b'tera doesn't allow you to fix anything else? Okay, that was the whole premise here. Remember? The ben b'tera said you could fix small, and we would have thought it was only small, and that's why Rav has to tell us even a zar. But is that really true? Because it says in a braita, Rabbi Yossi, Rabbi Yehuda, Rabbi Elazar, Rabbi Shimon, Omrim, Machshir haya ben b'tera b'kol ha'psulim kulan. First thing is, we have a braita where it says that these two tana'im said the ben b'tera was machshir all the cases. He said any psul by a mincha, you could just put it back in the first bowl and redo it. So it says explicitly. So how could Rav have said that this, right? We didn't need Rav then. It's obvious the ben b'tera was machshir kulan. V'tanya, and there's another braita that also indicates it. First, we're going to have an opinion that's not relevant. V'kamatz misham. Okay, it says when the Kohen does the Kmitza, it says he does it from there. Why does it have to say from there? What does from there mean? So the first opinion says, Mimakom shavaglei hazar omdot. It's from the place where the zar can stand, meaning it doesn't have to be done. You might have thought Kmitza is compared to korban. Since it's kodesh kodeshim, where would it have to be done? Just like you shech the korban in the north, the northern part of the azara, you might also have to do the Kmitza there. Because it says, v'kamatz misham, it teaches you from wherever you got the mincha from, which is even where the zar can go, meaning doesn't have to be done in Safon. But Ben Batera darshans it differently. This is what's relevant for our purposes. Omer minayin she'im kamatz b'smol. He learns v'kamatz misham. As minayin she'im kamatz b'smol, she'achzir v'yachzor v'yikmotz b'yamin. How do you know that if you did the kmitz in the left hand, you could redo it with your right hand, put it back in and redo it? Talmud lomar v'kamatz misham. Mimakom shekamatz kfar. Kamatz misham means in a place where you did the kmitza already. Now, you can't do the two kmitzas from one mincha, so what must it mean? It must mean that you can fix any mistake you made. Now, notice, even though we used the word small, the pasuk just says you can redo a kmitza, which sounds like in any kind of mess up. The kevan dikras stomach tipa, since the pasuk is just general, mali small, mali sharp surin. Okay, so one brayta said it explicitly, the other brayta we can infer from there. So in the end, we're now questioning Rav again. Why did Rav say that kamatz zar, you can redo it, if he was talking about according to Ben Batera? Shouldn't it have been obvious from Ben Batera that Ben Batera was machshir also those cases? So ela ha kamash malam Rav. So Rav must be teaching us something else. Kamatz vafilu kidesh. Now we get to our two bowls. So you had the mincha in one bowl. You had the dough. You take the kmitza from the dough, right? That's what you would do, and you would put it in a second bowl. Okay? That's how you would generally do it. So what if, until now, what did we assume? He does the kmitza. He does it with his left hand, or his tzar does it. And then it's still in his hand, right? He puts it back in the first bowl. Comes Rav, and he's mechadesh, even though this doesn't appear in the words of Rav. Zar shekamatz yachzir is what Rav said. But the assumption, when he says zar shekamatz yachzir, means even if he already put the kmitza into a second klei sharet. And why would you think this is such a chidush? Well, you'll see that some people say this isn't the case. So, Rav says, right, so afilu, kamatz va afilu kidesh, that's what it means. And it's, Rav is saying, even if you did the kmitza, you made a mistake, whether it was a zar, whether it was a small, anything. And Ben Patera says, any case you could redo. Rav is coming to teach you, not only can you redo it, but even if you already put it in that second bowl and sanctified the kmitza in a kli sharet, you're still allowed to take it back, put it in the first kli sharet, and fix it.
You know, yeah. This whole argument is very interesting, but if the levona is put on top of the flour oil combination or whatever is in the kli sharet, and then it's messed up by doing a kmitza and things start getting mixed up together, that it's not in the right order when it's
they put the levona in the same thing with the kmitza,
and then they push it to the side to do kmitza, but it has to be pushed aside completely. And we've already seen that if any of it gets covered in,
so then.
But
they must have done the levona after it's in the kli sharet. In other words, after you put the kmitza in the kli sharet, then you do the levona. The assumption here is this is before that happens.
I thought they put the levona on before
they put the levona on the entire mincha
and
mixture?
Then they push it aside, and then they do the kmitza. Except if you get any mixed up in it, then you invalidate the kmitza. It seems very complicated.
Right,
in other words, they're
right.
arguing
that's
about something,
question.
But they're avoiding something that's like screaming at us that maybe that
it's more complicated.
The essence of,
that what?
That it's a problem. It's problematic from a different aspect, that they're mixing up
the things
the order of the contents or the way it's supposed to be in order for it to be mikudash.
Right, but I guess if they put the levona and they took it off, then
like
again you could redo, right, right. But again, it was there before the first kmitza, so it shouldn't.
So then only the first kmitza. Therefore, the argument should be that you can only allow one kmitza and has to be done right, otherwise
right.
it's possible.
Right.
And then all this would be.
Right. Yeah, it's a good point you're making.
But all these mesachtot are about how you can fix things if you mess up. It seems like they
right.
have
but
an
it's
extraordinary
almost
lens.
Yeah, right.
Right.
To find a
right.
way.
They want to find ways. They don't want to make you have to redo your whole mincha offering, and
right.
you know it's a headache. It's financially difficult also.
Do they deal with the crumbs or the stuff that's stuck on the hand?
Well, that's what they were saying before. That was one of the issues they brought
no,
up.
Because there isn't enough.
Right? You'd have to put it all back in, according to one opinion. Okay. So Elahakamashan Kamasa Filukide, Shula Fuke Mehani Tanai, and to say that this is different from these other Tanaim. Ditanya Rabbi Yossi ben Yasan, Vi Rabbi Yehuda Hanachton, these are two guys we haven't really heard from much. Amru Bamedvarim Mamurim Shekamats Velokidesh. When Ben Beter is talking, he means only you can redo it if you didn't yet put in a new klisharet. Aval kidesh pasal, but if you already put in a new kli sharet, no good. And Rav is coming to say, even if you put it in the new kli, right, that you put the kmitza into a kli sharet, you could still put it back in. The ikadam, right? And some people, though, say that it's the exact opposite what Rav is teaching us. The Rav is dafka teaching us the opinion of those rabbis. Okay, remember, Rav just said, zar shakamatz yachzir. The question is, he obviously, at this point, the Gemara is pushed into a corner to say he must be saying something new because it's obvious already from Ben Batera. Number one, we said he's not talking about Tanakama, he's only talking about Ben Batera. And if it's talking about Ben Batera, well, that's obvious from Ben Batera, so he must be Machadish something. So the first thing is Machadish that if you put in a new Kli Sharet, you can put it back. Now we're going to say, oh, he's Dafka Machadish, the opposite. That if you put in a new Kli Sharet, it's no good. Only if you returned it without having put in a new Kli Sharet, it would be okay. So that's going to be the second reading. Some people say kamatz in kidesh lo, only if you did the kmitza and then realized and returned it. But kidesh, if you already put in a new kli, no. Kiman, according to does he hold kehane tanai, and then he holds exactly like those tanaim. Ulafuke. So what's his chidush? To say I disagree with mitana kama from the tana kama, the tana who disagrees with those two tanaim. Okay, now we're going to start with the question. Matzki flarav Nachman, my kasavre. What exactly is he holding? Okay, this is basically a question on Rabbi Yossi ben Yassi, Rabbi Yossi, this Rabbi Yossi ben, what's his name? Rabbi Yossi ben? Ben Yossi ben Yassian and Rabbi Yehuda Hanachton. So Nachman says like this, what do they hold, Hanei Tanai? Ik mitza psulin avodahi. When a puzzle person, or it's done in a puzzle manner, the kmitza, do we say that in avoda was done, it was just done wrong? Or do we say no avoda was done at all? So if we say an avoda was done and it was just done wrong, so then we shouldn't be allowed to redo it because the avoda was already done. We can't redo it once an avoda was done and it was done wrong. So if you say kmitza psulin avoda hi, it is avoda. So af agav delo avile matan kli, it should be puzzle whether you put it in a new kli or you didn't put it in a kli sharet. What's the difference? No matter what, we consider that an avoda. And if, if we say It's as if nothing was done, because if the wrong person does it, or he does it in the wrong way, it's as if nothing happened. Well, then it shouldn't matter what, if we put it in a new kli sharet or not, it shouldn't make a difference, right? Who cares whether you put in a new kli sharet? So Rav Nachman answers his own question. Am Rav Nachman la'olam avodihi. It is considered avodah psul. However, what are we going to say? Why does it only become psul when you put in the new kli sharet? Because below gamra avodata ada avile matan kli. When a disqualified person, let's just talk about the zar. A zar does the kmitza. Yes, it's an avoda, but it's not considered an avoda until he puts it in the kli sharet. When he puts it in the new kli sharet, that finishes it. Now it's called an avoda. While it's in the middle, it's almost like there's two parts to this avoda. You have to take out the kmitza and you have to put in a kli. As long as he hasn't put in a kli, we don't yet call it avoda, which means we can redo it. Once he puts in the kli, and this answers our question, what's the difference whether you put in a kli sharet or not? Once he puts in the new kli, he sanctifies that kmitza, and that's the finishing of the avoda. Once it's a finished avoda and it was done wrong, it's disqualified. And that's the opinion of those tanaim. But now we're going to have a basic question on this. Ihachi afilu lo kidesh. It shouldn't make a difference then if, in order to count as an avoda, what do you need? You need two things. You need, right, according to this, you need to do the kmitza, and then you need to put in a kli sharet. What did I say from the beginning? We have two kli sharets here. The first is the one that the whole dough is in, and the second is the one that he's now putting the new kmitza in. So what do we say? As soon as he does the kmitza, it's not yet an avoda. As soon as he puts it in the kli sharet, now we've messed it up. Well, what if he puts it back in the first kli sharet? Right? The whole point is he can redo it because he hasn't done anything. But when he puts it in the first kli sharet, he's also putting the kmitza in a kli sharet. Which means, according to this, that finishes the avoda and that should disqualify it. So how can you ever redo this kmitza? So v'chima hadole lekometz leduchte, when you return the kometz to its place, its original place, tikdosh, it should become sanctified, which means the avoda is finished, v'lifsal, and it should be disqualified. So Amar Rabbi Yochanan, so we're now going to have three answers or three some are answers and some are conclusions that come from here. Rabbi Yochanan is going to say the fact that we allow it to go back into the first kli, but once it goes into the second kli, we say that's no good. What are we going to say here? Zot omeret, kli sharet ein mekadshin ela midat. All of a sudden we put intent back into it. It's only going to become sanctified by a kli sharet and consider the end of your avoda, or an avoda, if you did it with intent. When he put it back in the first kli, he didn't intend to sanctify it. He intended to redo the mincha. When he put it in the second kli, according to our thing, right, he put it in the second kli because he thought he was actually doing the kmitza properly. He did the kmitza, he put it in that, and he sanctified it intentionally. But when he returns it to the first one, there's no intent. There's no intent to sanctify it. What's his intent? His intent is to redo it. So in other words, in order for him to consider it to be a finished avoda, he has to have had intent to put it in the kli sharet. In this case, he didn't intend to put it in a kli sharet. I mean, he intended to put it in this kli sharet, the first one, but not to sanctify it. So therefore, Rabbi Yochanan says, we learn from here that a kli sharet doesn't, if you stomp put something in a kli sharet without intent to sanctify it, doesn't become sanctified. Okay? It only sanctifies items with your own, if you had intent to sanctify it.
He was doing it in the first step with intent to sanctify.
Okay, let's go back to our two bowls. So when he took it from the first bowl and put it in the second bowl, he did it with intent. That's why those Tanaim say if he put it in there, disqualified, because he intended to finish the avoda and he did it wrong, that disqualifies it. But when he returns it to the first bowl, he doesn't intend to sanctify it. He intends to just put it back to its original state and redo it. It's true, there's a bit of sanctification here, but he wasn't intending to finish his avoda of kmitza. He was specifically erasing what he did, right? He was doing undo. That's not, right? That's exactly what he's doing. So, ha midat mekadshim, right? So here you see, only midat can you be mekadesh. So now they're going to say there's this bit of a strange question here. V'ha ba'a mine rish lakish mi Rabbi Yochanan. But wait a minute. How could you say that Rabbi Yochanan said that ein mekadshin ela midat? Didn't Rish Lakish ask this question of Rabbi Yochanan? Kli sharet ma'u shikadshu psulin lechatchila likarev. Could a kli sharet, let's say, the premise of this question is, let's say you did something wrong, but you put it in a kli sharet. Would that allow you, since you put it in a kli sharet, to actually sacrifice it? It's a little bit like the imala lo yered, that once you already sanctified it, maybe we'll allow it to be sacrificed or burned or whatever it might be. And Rabbi Yochanan said, no way. It can't be Mekadesh. And here you see, even though you had intent to put it in a Kli Sharet, it can't be sanctified to Emekadshin. So, wait, according to this... Right, so according to this, he says... One second, the question is... Midat Mekadshin... Ah, right. They're assuming that when it says Midat Mekadshin, it sounds like they're thinking that it works. And what did we say? Midat Mekadshin means if you put it in the second Kli Sharet, it sanctifies it to the extent that this is considered a full avodah. We're now going to disqualify it. But Rabbi Yochanan said, Ein Mekadshin. If you do something disqualified, it's not Mekadesh. It's a strange question because they're talking about apples and oranges, which is what the Gemara is going to answer. The Gemara is going to answer, Amarle, Ein Mekadshin li karev, Amar Mekadshin li pasil. There's two things we're talking about here. One is putting it in a Kli Sharet to allow it to be sacrificed or burned, let's say in this case it was the Knitza. And that, of course, we can't allow it. If it's disqualified, we're not going to allow it to be, right? But it's enough to be called sanctified to allow it to become disqualified. Remember, there's two ways we view it. Either we view it, right? If you put in the first one, it's not even Navoda and you haven't disqualified anything. You can just redo it. But once you put it in a Kli Sharet, then it becomes disqualified. However, when Rabbi Yochanan said to Rish Lakish, Ein Mekadshin he meant, well, you can't now burn it. Because you can might claim, oh, I put it in a holy vessel now. All of a sudden, it can like, there we're looking at a different kind of erasing. There it's not that we want to redo, it's that we can bypass it. And as we say, oh, well, even though you made a mistake, since it's already sanctified in Kli Sharet, maybe you could sacrifice it. And that, of course, not. Okay, so that wasn't really a good question because they were asking from two apples and oranges. One was talking about, can you sacrifice it? And one was, is it disqualified? Okay, now we're going to have a second answer. So the first reading of this issue, okay, remember our question. Our question is, if it becomes sanctified in a Kli Sharet and that becomes considered as if we finish the avoda, meaning now the avoda should be disqualified, how can we return it to the first vessel? Because as soon as we put it in that vessel, it becomes sanctified. So the first answer was, it doesn't become sanctified in the first vessel because you need intent to sanctify something in a Kli Kodesh. The second answer, Rav Amram Amar, Kigon Shechziro Lebisa Gidusha. You put it in a bowl that was overflowing. Which means what? When does it become sanctified in the bowl? When it goes into the space inside the bowl. It has to be within the walls of the kli. If it's on top that you put it, right, you return it to the top and it's overflowing, then it never becomes sanctified. And that's the only way you could return it is if it was overflowing. Now we're going to say that obviously doesn't work because then how is he supposed to do a new kmitza from there? If he's going to take the new kmitza from there, in theory he's going to take it from the top and the top hasn't been sanctified. And you can't take kmitza from mincha that hasn't been sanctified. So when he returns it to the kli, it has to actually be returned to the within the walls of the kli, which means, again, we're going to be back to the same problem, which then it's going to become sanctified. So the Gemara asks him, "Makamis hechi kama?" So how can he possibly do the kmitza if it was overflowing? So what are the answer? Ela kigon shechziro lebisat fufa. He put it back where it was. You had a bowl that was filled exactly to the top. And what happens? So since he took out his kmitza, now he puts it back in, we're going to assume that the bowl is still pretty full and it ends up not going inside. Okay, so now how's this going to work? Behechi kametzla. So how can he do the kmitza? Avid laguma. Okay, he makes, vekema de kametzla, avid laguma. Right, when he took the kmitza and it was full to the top, he took out a kmitza of it, and then there was some space. Okay, but what happens? Even though there's space, ki mahadra legava demana kamahadra le. But when he returned it, right, this would have been better, and I have my dough of challah here. So if he takes a piece out, right, so there's a little hole, but when he puts it back on, he puts it back on the part that's full, right? And imagine there's a little hole in one spot, but it's a little overflowing in the other, and he puts it on top there. So then, right, so it goes on the up, on above the kli. Umeini lav enafal mimela. Okay, and then what happens? Then he shakes it a little and it falls on its own into the kli, and then he can redo the kmitza because now the whole thing has gone in. Okay, and now we're going to say, we've seen this before, dinasa, it's always a funny line, kemishach ziro hakof. It's as if a monkey returned the dough, you know, the piece to the thing, because he didn't actually return it himself. Had he returned it himself, and this disagrees with the first opinion. First opinion was, if he doesn't return it midat, then it's not considered returning it to the kli. This assumes is he doesn't do it via dough, right? But it's as if a kof did it, right? Some other being moved it, meaning it got moved on its own. Then that's not considered returning it to the kli. Okay, so that's the second answer. Amrele Rabbi Yirmiyah the Rabbi Zeira. Now Rabbi Yirmiyah says to Rabbi Zeira, since they didn't answer a different question, we can infer from this, and from here we're going to get on to a long discussion about something else, which is, since they didn't answer, they could have answered what? The Lukma, they could have answered and said, we can say this is a case, Kigon Shechziro L'Kli HaMunach Al Gabei Karka. Maybe the Kli Sharet was just on the floor. Okay? And therefore, Ela Shema Mina, what can we infer from here? Komtzim Miklish Al Gabei Karka. He says we can infer from here that you can do a Kmitza from a Kli that's on the ground. Because if you couldn't, then they would have said, and what there's two options about this kli. Either the kli is on the ground, or the kli is held by a kohen. Right? Think about when we generally talk about a kli. What was the case we saw a kli? When you do the shechita. You do the shechita, and we have a halacha called kabbalah. The kohen stands there underneath, and he holds the kli. It has to be done by a kohen kabbalah. You can't just have the kli on the floor, and the blood falls into the kli. You have to have somebody holding the kli. So now we're going to say, what can you learn from here? That since they didn't say they did it al gabe karka, and that would have passed it, right? That would have meant, oh, it wasn't accepted in a klisha, right? When it comes to kmitza, you can, okay, now we're going to see these different stages. When it comes to, that's why I brought these two bowls. When it comes to taking the kmitza out of the klisha, right? Right? That for the first stage, it can be al gabe karka, okay? The kli can be al gabe karka, because otherwise they would have answered that. In other words, when I put the mincha into the bowl, and I want to sanctify it so that now I can take the kmitza from it, a kohen doesn't have to be holding it for that. Okay? There's no need for the kohen to be holding it. So now, they're going to say, that's obvious from here, otherwise we could have said it. So now they say, Amar Leh, Rabbi Zeira says back to him, Kanagata bebaya di bailan di bailan. Okay? You got to a big issue that a lot of people have discussed. Okay? We're now going to see a number of statements about this. Can kmitza be done in a, be put in, can the kmitza be done from a kli that was on the ground? Or does it have to be done with the kohen holding it? Okay? How important is the kohen's role? Does he have to hold it or not? So, Rabbi Abimi Tane Menachot Be Rav Chista. Rabbi Abimi was learning Seder Menachot, okay, or Masechet Menachot in the house of Rav Chista. So, first the Gemara stops and says, what are you talking about? Abimi Be Rav Chista Tane? How could Abimi have gone to Rav Chista to study with him? You got it all mixed up. It's the reverse. Because don't we have this case where we saw this totally different situation? Bahama Rav Chista. They were having a discussion about when you sell property of a yatom, you have to announce, okay, there's an issue that we're worried that if someone's in charge of the orphan's property, that he might sell it quickly and not for a good price because he doesn't care. It's not his property. It's for the yatom. What does he care? So what you have to do is you have to announce for 30 days that you're selling the property, or for a certain amount of time. We're going to see there's a problem that Rabbi Meir says in one place 30 days and in a different place 60 days. So in order to resolve this contradiction, what happened? So Rav Chista, it says, Hama Rav Chista, kol fe tabe bale me abimi. I got hit many, many times by abimi. Okay, beat me up. Ala da hashmata, about this halacha. Bala hachriz, ritzufin shloshim yom, sheni v'chamishi, shishim yome. Abimi said, you can't get this right. I'm going to hit you till you get it right. But the right, the whole issue about, you know, can you hit to teach a student? But he says that if you announce it every single day, you only need 30 days to announce it. And if you announce it only on Mondays and Thursdays, which is when there's more people around and it's public, then you need to do it for 60 days because you didn't do it every day, but you did do it on the Yemei HaShuk, so you do it for 60 days. So anyway, how could it possibly be if Abimi was beating up Rav Chista that he didn't understand what he was teaching? So how could, or what he was learning? Obviously, Abimi was the teacher and Rav Chista was the student. So now we see, Abimi mesechte it akar lei. He forgot the whole mesechet benachod. In other words, he didn't know it very well. Va'ata kamed Rav Chista lad kure. And Rav Chista obviously was an expert in menachot. So even though he was his student, he went to his student to study menachot because his student knew menachot much better than him. Gamre v'lishach le delete legabe. Oh, so sorry. So then they lid kure gamare. Okay, he went to him to teach, to learn it. So why did he just call Rav Chista to him and say, come Rav Chista and teach me in my yeshiva? He said, no, I'm going to get more sahar. I'm going to learn it better if I make the effort, right? This is classic. Right? The more effort you make to learn something, you'll learn it better. So he said, if I make the effort to go to Rav Chisda, I'll learn it better. Anyway, that was all an intro to our whole thing, which is, this is a discussion. Is a kli sharet, right? Could you do a kmitza from a kli sharet that was on the ground? It wasn't held by a kohen. So while Avimi was learning in Rav Chisda's house, or yeshiva, or wherever it might be, paga be Rav Nachman. Rav Nachman shows up there, and he starts questioning Avimi. Amar le ketzad komtzin. He says, how do you do kmitza? Amar le, and he points to this, here's my purple cup here, my purple bowl. Amar le miklize. He says, from a kli just like this. Amar le, v'chi komtzin mikli shal gabe akarka. Obviously, the kli was just sitting on the ground. So he says, Rav Nachman says, could you really do kmitza from a kli that's sitting on the ground? Amar le, dimag bele kohen. I pointed to it, but obviously I meant if the kohen is holding it. In other words, it's from a kli like this, but it would have to be held by the kohen. So you see that Avimi holds otherwise, okay? In other words, that's why he's saying this is an issue they grappled with elsewhere because it wasn't so clear that you could do kmitza like a bad karka. Rav Yirmiyah said, we can infer from the fact they didn't answer that the kli was on the ground that you can do kmitza from a kli al gabay karka. And then the Gemara says, no, but this, or Rav Yizera says to him, this is an issue they were discussing. And Avimi Dafka said, you need it. Ketzad mikadshin et hakometz. There's a different girsa here. Rav Nachman continues to ask Avimi, how do you do the kometz? And it's, this is how you do, right? Can you take it from a, first he asks, ketzad do you do the kibitza? And how are you mikadesh the kometz? Amar le notzna leklize. You put it in this kind of kli. So again, right, this is the second kli. Once you have the kmitza, how do you sanctify the kmitza itself? Remember, there's the mincha that needs sanctification, and then once you take the kmitza out, that also needs sanctification. So he says, he points to another, right, he says, like you put in a kli like this, okay? So again, he, right, no, it's not a kli, again, he asks him, b'chima kachim b'kli shal gabay akarka, could you really do that? Amalei demag b'lei kohen. He says, no, I meant that the kohen's holding it. Can't be done unless the kohen's holding it. Amalei, im ken utzrachta shlosha kohanim. He says, well, if that's the case, then you need three kohanim to do this avoda. Could that possibly be? Think about the mencha. You need a kohen to be holding the first kli. You need the next kohen to come and do the kmitza. And you need the third kohen to be holding the kli. He says, you really need three kohanim? So what's the obvious answer, Ram? Right? Utei tzricha yugimel ketamid. There's 13 people who do the korban tamid, so there could be three people who do the korban mincha, right? In other words, who cares? Yeah, it does. It needs a lot of, there's a lot of manpower needed in the Beit HaMikdash. Zehaklal. I'm sorry, Etive. So now Rav Nachman questions him and says, but wait, here's a braita that discusses exactly how you're supposed to do it. And notice what's not mentioned here. A kohen holding the kli. Here it says, Zaklal, kola komet v'notein b'kli. Okay, someone who does the kmitza and he puts it in a kli. Hamolich, he carries it. Hamaktir, he burns it. Lechol davar shadar kol echol, in order to allow him to eat the rest of the mincha. V'ilu magbia lo katani. It doesn't say anywhere that somebody needs to lift the kli and hold it. So what is the obvious answer? Tana, seder avodot naki, below seder kohanim. This braita isn't addressed to how many kohanim and who the kohanim are. This is just addressed to how it's supposed to happen, but it doesn't need to say the kohen held it. That was obvious. Okay. Now there's another discussion about this with Rav Sheshet. Baumi named Rav Sheshet. Ma'u likmotz mikli shal gabay akarka. Can you do kmitza from a kli that's on the ground? Amarle, pok chaze maid avdin legal. Why don't we go see what they're doing here? Arba'a kohanim. Okay, now we're going to learn from the lechem apanim. The lechem apanim, they would have once a week. They would, right, they would sit there on the shulchan all the time. They had to, oh, there had to always be bread there. Lefanai tamid, it says. So lefnei Hashem tamid in the pasuk. So they had to move them. So how'd they move them? Here we get the description. Arba'a kohanim nichnasim. Now here, notice the focus. It's going to be on how many kohanim do you need. Four kohanim go in. Now there's two things there. There's the lechem apanim, these 12 loaves, and there's also two bowls of livona, the frankincense. So four kohanim nichnasim. Shnayim biyadam shnei starim, u'shnayim biyadam shnei bezichim. Two are carrying the each one six loaves, and two are carrying two bowl new bowls of frankincense. Ba'arba mekadmim lifnehem. And four go in front of them. Shnayim litol shnei starim. Two to take out the two, you know, each one, six loaves of bread. Vishnayim litol shnei bezichim. And two to take out the two bezichim. V'ilu magbiya tashulchan lo katane. Now the assumption is that when you take out the livona, okay, we're going to compare the livona to the taking out of the livona to the kmitza. Because why is it similar? First of all, both of them say in the pasuk ezkirata, okay, or ezkira, which means that we're doing this l'shem Hashem, which means it's an avoda, which means that we're going to compare the two. And notice what doesn't it say? You don't have to lift the shulchan when you don't have to have somebody holding the shulchan when they move the bezichim either in or out. So what do you say, right? So again, what's going to be this? So here you see they don't mention that. So again, they're going to say lava martatam seder avodot nakat hachanami seder avodot nakat. Again, they're talking about what you're supposed to do the avoda and not necessarily who's doing what. So then they say no, you can't say that here because midame hatam lo nakat leminyana de kohanim. The first brayta didn't say anything about how many kohanim you needed, but hacha here they were so specific nakat leminyana de kohanim. They said you need four kohanim for this and four kohanim. They say exactly how many kohanim you need. So if they said you need exactly four kohanim and they didn't say you need a fifth one to be holding it, then it's obvious you don't need a fifth one to be holding it. Im ita litnei magbia, so it should have said that. Ela shmamina kumtzim miklish al gabei akarka shmamina. So what do you see from here? That you can do the kmitza from a klish al gabei akarka. Okay, so we had Avimi saying you can't. We had our Rabbi Zera first saying, Rabbi Yirmiya saying you can, from our sugya. We have Rabbi Yirmiya saying you can't, and now we have Rav Shesha saying you can. Amar Rava. Here comes Rava. Another statement about this. Pshita li komets miklish al gabei akarka. It's obvious that you could do the kmitza from a kli al gabei akarka. Shekema sinu b'siluk b'zichin. Again, he proves it from the same place as Rav Shesha. Mikachim. So he says, when it talks about taking the kmitza out, that's like taking the bezichim out of the shulchan. But mikadshin mincha beklish al gabei karka shekei matzinu besidur bezichim. And can you put the mincha in a klish aret that's sitting on the karka? Yeah, because that's like bringing in the livona. However, by Rav, and I said we were going to start making a distinction about this, kiddush kometz mai. But when you take the kmitza and you put the kmitza into that second bowl, that doesn't have an exact comparison with the livona. Because there's nothing, right? What's that? That's where you took something out of something else and you put it into a new thing. That has no comparison there. So the whole question is, are we going to compare that to mimincha yafin ala? Are we going to compare it to the mincha? Once we learn that a mincha can be sanctified that way from the bezichei livona, maybe we can learn that the komets also. Or do we learn it from the blood? Now, why would we learn it from the blood? It's very obvious. Because what did we say? When you take the kmitza and you put in a kli sharet, it's like Kabbalah. We've made this comparison to the avodot of kmitza, to the avodot of shchita and Kabbalah and holacha. So also there, right, the kmitza part, the last part of putting that kmitza part into the kli sharet, maybe that's like collecting the blood from the slaughtering, which means that might have to be done with a coin holding. Okay, so if you're going to hold, the first one doesn't need to be, right? That number one, you can put the mincha in there and sanctify it. And you can take the kmitza out of there without it being held by anybody. But maybe the later stage has to be held by someone. So that's the question.
Did we talk about how big the kli sharet has to be?
No, that's a whole different discussion. We've mentioned that before. It has to hold the exact amount of the mincha.
But why is it so important to make the exact comparison? Why do we need this parallel?
Because they view it as an important avodah. The more important the avodah is, right, the zvachim are very, you know, very central. If we can make the minachot like that, right, it's always in terms of comparing. We like to compare things. It helps us understand
the
better.
But you have to be there to collect the dam. It's splurting all over.
Yes,
the place.
It's true. And you don't have to be there. But the question is, right, it's really what it's really getting at is human involvement. Right? How much is there human involvement here? Is it just a kli, or is the kli because right the man makes the clothes, or right the
yeah,
is
yeah.
the kli because of someone's holding it? Okay, so that's the real issue here. So anyway, hadaya pashta midam yafinana. He says actually we learn it out from dam. Okay, that's Rava's answer. So now they say miyama Rava hachi. Did Rav really say this? The ha'itmar, doesn't it say komet shechalku b'shnei kelim? If you had a kometz that was split into two different kelim, in other words, he took the kmitza and he put half in one kli, okay, let's assume this is a different kli, he puts them in two different kelim, okay? So does that work? Rav Nachman Amar Eino Kadosh, this doesn't work, but Rav Amar Kadosh, Rav says this works, even though it's in two different kelim, it works. Now, im ita lelef midam, if Rav is really going to learn it from dam, vim ita lelef midam, when you collect the blood of the animal, all the blood has to be collected in one bowl. If you collect it in two bowls, it doesn't work. So why doesn't he learn that halacha from dam if he's learning the whole kmitza from dam? So what did the answer? Hadabe Rav Amahi. He actually changed his mind about the two kelim. In the end, he said, you're right, it all has to be put in one kli. How do we know that dam is not kadosh if you put it in two separate bowls? And this is all a repeat from a sugya we saw. Detane in zvachim. Detane Rav Tachlifa ben Shaul kidesh pachom michdei azah bechlize or pachom michdei azah bechlize lo kidesh. Here we're talking about the para aduma. If you take not enough in each kli, it doesn't work. Vibay lehu, and then they ask bedamai. Do we learn from para aduma to dam? Hilchatahi, do we say it's a halacha l'moshe misinai by paraduma, in which case we're not going to learn from there to dam? Umilchata lo yalfina? Odil mahata maitaima? Or does it come from a pasuk? And if it comes from a pasuk, we can learn from there to dam. Why? Do we learn it from dichtiv? Vitaval b'mayim. Vitaval b'mayim means into that water. Okay, in Hebrew, right? B'mayim is like behamayim, in that water. Okay, so you put it in that water. What does that show? That it has to be in all the water that was collected, meaning it all has to be done in one bowl. And therefore, if we're going to learn it from a pasuk, hachanami hakti v'taval badam, it also says here, it has to be dipped into the blood. The blood means the blood that was already collected. V'itma amar b'zreka amar b'yelazar af b'dam lo kidesh. So, and it said, the Rabbi Zreka said in the name of Rabbi Elazar, even b'dam lo kidesh, meaning he learned that dam, we learned it basically from the pasuk, not halacha l'mosh misinai, we learned from paraduma to blood, and blood has to be collected in one, that's how we know it. And Amarava, Tanya Namihachi, we also have a braita that says, vitaval velomasapeg, remember this, it has to be dipped, and you can't just take a little bit from the side, right, you have to actually dip your finger into it, like let's say there's not enough blood, and badam, shehe badam shi'ur tefila me'ikaro. Badam teaches that there has to be enough from the beginning. If you didn't collect enough blood that you could actually dip your finger in from the beginning, it's no good. Min hadam shebayinyan. Okay, we're going to explain this in a second, and then we're going to stop for today. Be'itzrich lemechta v'taval, be'itzrich lemechta badam, and that's why do we need all these psukim? Di'i katav rachmana v'taval, hava mina afa gavdulo kibel shi'ur, tfilot, mi'karo. That's if it just said v'taval, you could have said, even if you didn't have it all there from the beginning, but as long as now you added more, right, let's say you collected it into, it had enough, right, didn't have enough in one to begin with, but now you pour from the other bowl into there, you would have thought it would have been enough. Therefore, katav rachmana badam. No, it has to have been there from the beginning. Vi katav rachmana badam, hava mina afilu misapeg. But if it said badam, so there might have been enough there, but you still could take from the sides and not actually dip your finger in. And therefore, katav rachmana vitaval. Min hadam shebainyan. So what's this drasha? Min hadam shebainyan. Lemeute mai. What does that come to exclude? Amarava. Lemeute shirayim shebaetzba. If you remember, if you have leftover on your fingers, you can't use the leftover on your fingers to sprinkle. Right? Meseele le Rabbi Elazar da'amar shirayim shebaetzba psulim. Okay? When you're doing the sprinkling, remember we learned you have to clean your finger each time. Okay? So amale rabin barada le rava. Amre tamidach amar rav amram. Tanya haya mazevin nidze haza'am yado. Imad shalo izata kibus, mishiza ain't un kibus. My love, achalo gamarazato. Umisha gamarazato, shmamina, deshiram shabet bakshirim. So they quote this source to say, I'm sorry, I'm going through this quickly, we're just running over. But here he says he was mazeh, okay? He starts the sprinkling. And if it, remember, there was a whole din of kibus, you have to wash your clothes. If it gets on you, so he starts sprinkling the blood, and then it drips on his clothes. So if it was in, before he finished all the hazayot, then he needs to do kibus, and if not, not. But what do you hear, see from here? If he had stuff left on his fingers, that would mess up the kibus, that would make you need kibus, and you only need kibus if it's ra'oi lahaza'ah, if it can be sprinkled. So you see that the shirayim are okay. So they say, no, ad shelo yatzta miyado haza'ah ta'un kibus. Umishi yatzta haza'ah miyado v'nitza, mima shenishar ein ta'un kibus. Here they meant each haza'ah independently. Once you sprinkled it, then no longer is ta'un kibus, because you have just shirayim shebetzba. Okay, so now I just want to get to this one interesting point. Eti ba'abaye gamar milazom v'kaneach yado b'gufo shel para. Right, when you finish the hazayot, what do? You take the extra blood and you... here we're not talking about the blood. We're talking about the para aduma. We're talking about the sprinkling of the water. You wipe the extra on the goof of the para. Oh no, this is the blood of the para aduma. Sorry. You also do sprinkling of the blood in the para aduma. So you wipe it off on the goof of the para. So what does this imply? Gamar in lo gamar lo. Right? Only if you finished. But if you didn't finish, then not. So amar le gamar mekanech yado lo gamar mekanech etzba'o. Okay, so now we're going to say, right, once you finish, only when you finished, you wipe your whole hand, but in between, you wipe your finger. So now they have this issue. Bishlama gamar mekanech yado begufo shel para. At the end, what do? You wipe it off on the para. Dichti b'saraf et hapara le'inav. Ela lo gamar mekanech etzva'o b'may mekanech. What do you use to wipe your finger off in between? Now, this is very interesting, and I want to end with this point. This is just a methodological point. Here, Rashi explains what's the issue. If you remember, when we learned this in Zvachim, what did we say the issue was? That if in between hazayot, you wipe it on the parah, what's going to happen? There's hairs on the parah that are going to stick to your finger, and you're not going to be able to do the hazayot properly because you're going to have blood mixed with hairs. So it's going to be a problem. But here, Rashi says it's a different problem. Rashi says the parah is not where you're standing when you do the hazaot. They're in different locations. You're up at the top of Har HaZeitim when you do the hazaot, and the para is at the bottom of Har HaZeitim. So Tosafot first of all says to Rashi, what are you talking about? Where'd you get this idea? And it's not clear where exactly they did everything. Was the shechita and hazaot done in the same place or not? So Rashi here says it was done in different places. But in Zvachim, he says a different answer that doesn't have to do with the location, it has to do with the hairs, even though it's the exact same sugya. And this is something that's known about Rashi. The Tosfot in general is consistent across all of Shas. Like the Tosfot's always comparing sugyot, and they'll give often the same answers in all the same places, comparable places. But Rashi is usually only consistent within the Masechet and not within Masechtot. And often you'll see a lot of contradictions between what Rashi says somewhere and what he says somewhere else. And that's why I want to end with this and show you that Dafka here, Rashi has a totally different interpretation. Okay, Shabbat Shalom.